And our reading tonight is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 34. And that's page 1178 in our Black Bibles. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 34. But the Pharisees, having heard he, that's Jesus, had put the Sadducees to license, were gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, demanded, tempting him, saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy understanding. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments, the whole law and prophets hang. So those words of the Lord Jesus are truly divinely inspired, aren't they? The beauty of them is they're all inclusive. I mean, on the one hand, if you haven't taken that step of faith and asked the Lord Jesus into your life, then those words are a call to you to get on the right pathway with the Maker and Creator, God. And as you've heard so many times here before, that pathway begins with coming in repentance from a life away from God and accepting that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins against him. Then you'll know the joy of being a born-again believer in this life and right on into eternity. Doesn't get better than that, does it? No. But the beauty of it is, those words of the Lord Jesus, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy understanding, are also called to the believer to be just obedient to the right pathway with God. And that's becoming a bit more of a challenge as we move on into this digital age that we're in, isn't it? Because the distractions are more subtle, more complex, more technical for the believer and the unbeliever alike. Of course, this digital age that we're in, it is a great age to live in, I'm not saying that. As you know, I mean, with a smartphone, you can not only contact somewhere or anywhere else in the world, but it can also answer any questions you like to ask and give any advice you might need. And it might even anticipate what you need to know next. All done without any other human being involved. AI, artificial intelligence, is the name of the game today. Of course, artificial intelligence is a wonderful asset when it's coming from the right people. But like so many things in this world, it has a flip side. And as we turn more and more to artificial intelligence to do our thinking for us, the more vulnerable we become to that flip side. Recently, an automated voice told me I needed to contact the parcel from the Royal Mail, collect a parcel from the Royal Mail. All I needed to do was give my bank details to pay for it. Yeah, it was a scam. I won't go far enough to say that artificial intelligence is actually evil. I wouldn't say that. And about to take over the world and should be avoided at all cost. It's just that we need to treat it with wisdom like so many other things in this world. And that brings us right back to those words of the Lord Jesus in our reading tonight. Because human intelligence is no match for artificial intelligence. But God's intelligence is. Then you love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your understanding. And when you're fully inspired by the sacrificial love that the Lord Jesus has for your neighbour and for yourself, well, among so many other things, God makes his intelligence available to you. And God's intelligence and said is above artificial intelligence, and it's also above human intelligence. What do you know about it? It says exactly that in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, you don't need to turn to it, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, that verse was written nearly 3,000 years ago, and it's exactly the right answer for us in this digital world today, isn't it? How many other things from 3,000 years ago can you say that about? And that's one of the many things that proves the Bible to be the inspired word of God. It's timeless. And of course, it's from the Bible we learn all about that most important person that ever walked this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a glorious person he is, isn't he? Beyond any shadow of doubt, he entered this world as Emmanuel, God with us. But he lived such a humble life here. He faced all the challenges in life that you face, and far more so. Yet, without sin, any sin as you know. And that's why he knows exactly what you may be going through in your life and what you're facing. And he's there for you when you trust him. Of course, the circumstances of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ lived in, wouldn't have been the same as yours, but the challenges he faced were just the same. And as I said, so very much more. Yes, the Lord Jesus did so many glorious things on his earthly journey. And he said so many glorious things too. And I especially value those words that he spoke in parables. And the new thing about the Word of God is that revisiting its messages again are just as valuable as discovering new ones. And that's because the Holy Spirit can unfold to us so many things that we might have missed a time before when we looked into the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God is all down to how you personally respond it at the time you read it. Incidentally, I'm sure you know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And in fact, the very famous one comes to mind right now. It's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 24. If you do want to turn to it, it's page 1154 in our Black Bibles, if you want to turn to it. Yep, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. Verse 24 begins, whoever therefore hears these my words and does them, I will liken him to a prudent man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew and fell upon that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these my words and does not do them, he shall be likened to a foolish man. He's built his house on the sand. And the rain came down, and the streams came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And its fall was great. Yes. That, yes, is the parable of the man who built his house on the rock. And I'm sure you must know this parable pretty well by now. But what makes it worth revisiting is that, in the first place, it's the very basis of the gospel message. But it's also very reassuring to the believer as well, in reminding us that we've done things right in the first place in building our house on the rock, the Lord Jesus. So, whatever your standing is before God tonight, you are very much part of this parable. Just as much as those two men in it. Yeah, it's all about you. If you remember, those two men in the parable had two things in common. In fact, they had three things in common. Both men heard the words of the Lord Jesus and responded to them. Both men built a house, and both men faced a storm. So, just as those two men heard the words of the Lord Jesus in the first place, so the Lord Jesus has some important words recorded in the Bible, I'm glad to say, for each one of us here tonight. And a verse that immediately comes to mind is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 28. You don't need to turn to that. Where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who labour and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Is that you tonight? Or have you never turned to the Lord Jesus in a time of trouble? Another verse that comes to mind is the famous one. Yes, you'll know this one. John 3:16, where he says, "You must be born again." You may have heard that verse a lot of times before, but have you never taken the step of faith that brings you full salvation and being born again as a Christian? John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus says, "Abide in me." Yes, the wonderful prospect of living with the Lord Jesus forever. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you're not literally building a house like those two men in the Bible parable, but you are building your own life in this world, either with your own earthly values, like the man who built his house on the sand, or you made the words of Jesus Christ your foundation for living, like the man who built his house on the rock. If you feel that the words of the Lord Jesus you heard earlier do apply to you tonight, then you can take them as coming to you personally, for you to act on them and gain a life built on a rock instead of sand, and spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. But moving on, the next thing everyone in the parable had in common, they all faced a storm, didn't they? And you, as the third person in this parable, will be facing storms in your life, one way or another. That's part of living in this world, isn't it? The two men in the parable, of course, faced a weather storm. But storms of life can come in different ways. They can come on a material level, yes. But storms can come on an emotional level too. People can let you down, can't they? And, well, you can let them down sometimes. But most important of all, storms can come to us in our spiritual life. We humans are made up of body, soul and spirit. We can be led away by false spiritual information and really severely regret it. If you ignore the spiritual foundation that the Lord Jesus has prepared for you, then you're in big trouble. So I say it again, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that you heard earlier and act on them. I'm sure you don't need me to spell out the alternative in eternity. In spite of all that the Lord Jesus is offering you tonight, you may think, well, it's too much of a challenge for me to take that step of faith. But the wonderful truth is, God in all his triune power is with you, Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, right from the time you ask his forgiveness onwards. So if you've never done it before, become a believer and a receiver of the Lord Jesus tonight. Don't worry what people think of you. Tell someone the wonderful news. They'll only be too glad to hear it. And you'll be doing exactly what God wants you to do. And it's beautifully summed up in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 in the Bible. It says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth one is made to salvation. So those are just a few words that passing on to you from the Word of God tonight.